Noon straight up aggression for you. A lot of football talk today. A lot of Russell Wilson talk. I know Lucas Giolito is out for the Red Sox. We mourn his, well, we've never seen him in a Red Sox uniform, so I don't know what to mourn anyway. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is our guy Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Brought to us by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Tommy, good afternoon.
How are you, Andrew?
I'm just trying to figure out what's head and tails of everything that is out there with the New England Patriots. Tommy, I know that I think it was Phil who was out at the Combine. Normally at the end of the Combine, there's a lot of rumblings, rumors, things like people get their intel. Okay, I'm starting to figure out what this team's going to do. Did you come away from the Combine feeling like there was, at least in your mind, some clarity in the way with which the New England Patriots are about to operate this month and in the draft?
Yes, I think that there was a lot to glean from, you know, both Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo's media conversations and also a lot of the reporting that Phil and other reporters did out there. Really, the most important and compelling conversation is around the quarterbacks, and it seems to me that, you know, the Patriots have to be convinced to not take a quarterback. They are full intentioned in taking one, and that's based on, you know, the things that have been said publicly and also Phil saying, you know, the conversations that he had with people as the week went on. They really liked the three quarterbacks. Drake May was the most impressive one that they sat with in the room in the interview. Not that the other two were not impressive, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, but there was a command and a presence that they felt that they got from Drake May. And when you link that and the things that impressed them about May when they sat down with him with the things that they stated about how they want a leader, especially Elliot Wolf in terms of, you know, having people that will follow him, I think that the Patriots are probably leaning toward certainly at number three quarterback, and they would think that Drake May would fit the bill as of sitting here right now, March 5th.
Yeah, Tommy, I hear the leadership part. They want a leader. I'm wondering like how you feel like how important age is for these young guys. Like, because some of these guys that are coming out in the draft, some are a lot older than some of the other ones. I'm curious if that's an issue for them.
What's interesting to me is there are studies out there that have shown that the younger the player, the better it is to bring them in because, for instance, when you see a 22 or 23-year-old player who has hit a peak season at that age as opposed to 20, 21, or 22, you oftentimes are seeing the ceiling of that player in college. Whereas if you bring in a younger player, like I think Drew Bledsoe was a 20-year-old draftee. You hadn't seen the best of Drew Bledsoe yet. Drake May is 21, so he's a young player. And I think the Patriots are going to base a lot of what they look at with Drake May on the improvement level. Because to be candid, I spent a lot of time watching Drake May cut-ups over the weekend. And there's a lot that indicates to me that there's a massive gap between he, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams in terms of those two other players being more electric and having unique skills that make them more exceptional at the position and worthy of, I think, a top three pick. And then there's a gap to Drake May that I'm looking at it and saying, okay, he's the third quarterback, but the gap is so huge. Is he there because of the hype that has surrounded him as the second best quarterback in the draft for months? And if he's not the guy and just a guy, the Patriots have to be very careful about being oversold on have to take a quarterback just because they need a quarterback at number three. Because if he's not, you know, and transcendent is a word that people rely on, if he is not worthy of being the number three pick, there's plenty of players who are.
Yeah, they have to have conviction in the guy. And Tommy, when I heard the report over the weekend of the, well, they like all three of them, I'm like, no, that's, to me, that's what the bad organizations do. Well, I need one. They got three in the top three. Well, we'll just, whatever one lands to us, we'll be fine. And it's like, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I want to know that the guy they got at three is because they really wanted them, not because it was the bronze medal in a three-person race.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think historically things should really have a big impact on teams. Like, oh, if you take the third quarterback, you're oftentimes in a, you know, and there's three in the top five, you're going to get a loser. I don't think that historically that should have bearing on what happened in 2011, 2012, 1994 on what happens in 2023. They could all three be really good. But you have to look at all three separately and say, how big is the drop-off? And then start to do as the Patriots did forever with Bill Belichick. I don't know if this goes out the window, but start to do your stacking. All right, well, is the third-best quarterback better than Marvin Harrison Jr., better than Joe Alt? Do other teams value that player? Say if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, do the Vikings give us a package that makes us say, well, we're going to get this many players for the equivalent of Drake May? Do we move on from him? And I think they need to be really careful in marrying themselves to him, because it's going to be a process in which you're going to have 2024, 25, 26, and 27 with this quarterback. And if you're not sold that he is the guy that you wanted to lead your team, then I think that you can run into a problem. But I think my concern is them selling themselves on the quarterback because they feel they need a quarterback.
Yep. All right, so we're talking to Tom E. Curran. And Tom, so Russell Wilson officially released from the Denver Broncos. So how interested should the Patriots be in acquiring him?
I wouldn't be really interested in him, just for the simple fact that what you're talking about is with your locker room, you want a leader. And I just haven't heard enough about Russell Wilson being an excellent leader and unifier in locker rooms to say, yeah, they should definitely bring him in. That, to me, is kind of the disqualifying trait for him, is do you want to build around him? Is he going to bring the team with you? Now, does he have talent? Yeah, he still has talent. He's still a good player. He didn't have a horrendous year with the Denver Broncos, and he would come to you on the cheap, most likely. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, was writing about you could probably get him to take the minimum because he's being paid $39 million by the Denver Broncos. But, you know, does Russell Wilson want to come all the way to New England? Do the Patriots look at him as a leader who's going to buy in and say, I'm into this culture and will be a good and helpful addition to whoever they draft, whether it's Drake May, whether it's Michael Penix, whether it's Bo Nix, whether it's J.J. McCarthy, whoever it lands on, is he the guy that you want to have here to help this team move forward in what is most likely a bridge year?
Tom Curran with us. Today is the day the franchise tag can be used. I'm pretty safe in kind of guessing the Patriots are not going to use it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but do you have any idea as to where they might be in terms of trying to deal with Kyle Duggar and Mike Onwenu?
There's an offer on the table reportedly for Duggar at $13 million a year, which is less than the franchise tag. That was reported by Tony Pauline, who's been a reliable reporter for many years. He reported that yesterday. So whether that entices him to get something done before free agency, we'll see if that happens. Mike Onwenu's tag would be $21 million. And, you know, there are estimates that he would be a four-year, $65 million player with $33 million guaranteed. That was Pro Football Focus, had done all the valuations and said this is a good comp for him. For me, if I was going to tag either one, I would tag Onwenu because you have the money to do it, and then you can rework his deal and drop that number down. He's the more important player. You really right now have no left tackle. This is not a great left tackle class in free agency, so you probably are going to want to go into the draft, because really Trent Brown is the second best left tackle. Tyron Smith is the first best left tackle. There's reports that the Patriots will pursue Tyron Smith from Dallas in free agency next week. we'll see what he asks. But to me, I would tag and keep working with Onwenu if I were the Patriots, because right now I think they have David Andrews, Onwenu, who can play right guard or right tackle, and I think Sidy Sow is somebody they look at as a player that will be a starter for them.
So, Tom, when it comes to quarterback development, I'm curious where you sit. Are you a get the guy, play him right away, regardless, baptism by fire guy? Or are you a draft the guy, draft the older guy, and make the guy being the younger guy sit? Which way do you think works best in the
NFL?
I'm a big
sitter. I think it all depends on your situation, but I'm a big sitter, especially in the Patriots situation. You know, this entire coaching staff, whether it be offensive line coaching, offensive system coaching, wide receiver coaching, the offensive coordinator himself, and the head coach all have to figure out exactly how they're going to operate. And to put a first-year quarterback out there who might be, say, for instance, 21-year-old Drake May, and still be actually trying to get yourself and your system installed, might set him up for a little bit of adversity that could set him back. You know, when we look back at Mac Jones, he absolutely deserved to start in 2021 because he did beat out Cam Newton. But was Cam Newton suitable enough competition as a thrower and decision maker to beat out Mac Jones? He wasn't. It was apparent by the third day of training camp that Mac Jones made quicker decisions and threw the ball more accurately. So he just had to prove, which he did throughout that offseason, that he was the better quarterback for the Patriots. Drake May, for instance, we'll keep using him, might come in here and have a better arm than Joe Flacco or Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew. But is he equipped to go out there and think on the fly and decide on the fly and call out protections and not get himself blown up? Or are the Patriots going to spend time protecting him the entire time? I'm a big sitter fan for a team like the Patriots, which has a massive learning curve and a huge need at every position on offense, every position virtually, where they're all going to be new players too. So to me, sit them. What do you think?
Well, I was doing this exercise this morning, and I'm a sit 'em guy. I'm a sit 'em. Just looking at just all the other quarterbacks that have sit. I think C.J. Stroud, outlier. Mac Jones, outlier. Majority of time, if you can sit 'em for at least a year, just so some defensive coordinator doesn't have their way with them, I think it's advantageous for everybody.
Tommy.
And that's another reason, too, Gresh, just real quick. That's another reason, too, I think that they should consider a trade down, because the best bargain in sports is a rookie quarterback on a first-round quarterback on his rookie deal. So if you're going to bring in the third overall pick and sit him for a year, you're now winnowing it down to 3 years before his option comes in that you have of developing him as opposed to four. Again, not saying don't take the guy if you really love the guy, but if you're unsure and you're going to sit him, you're going to be down to 3 years of his very manageable contract.
Tommy, there was a report out about Elliott Wolf that this is kind of a test run. Fournier and I kind of chuckled at that. You're making long-term decisions now. Are we missing something? Is Elliott Wolf kind of picking for his job in this draft?
He is not doing that, but the Patriots are going to have a GM search after the draft. And this was something that, you know, we learned at the Super Bowl and spoke about it and really gathered a lot of information on it, because it is head scratching. You're going to put a GM and a personnel staff in charge.
Makes no sense.
With the third overall pick. Yeah. With the third overall pick and $100 million to spend. What sense does that make? To me, as I really started to sift through that plan, it came clear to me that what the Patriots need to do is still perform a search to check off boxes to make sure that everything is in compliance. And the GM will ultimately be Elliott Wolf, so whether they give him the GM title or not. But I think that they do have to have a search before they have a personnel person named. The Patriots are so wedded to the belief that their people in personnel were stifled by Bill Belichick's presence, that they are wedded to the idea of we want the familiarity, we want the people we know, and we want to see how they perform. So while there will be a search that people will start to hear about, I'm sure, after the draft, it's not going to be the sign of panic that it deserves. And, you know, I definitely was given that impression that that's what they will do. And I definitely said that doesn't make any sense at all and was told
the fix is in.
You know, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense.
Look, we have an in-house candidate. This guy's great.
Well, really, Tommy, the most interesting part about that whole front office thing when the draft is over for me, I made a wager with Fourier that by the Friday after the draft, Matt Groh will walk out and exit stage left because he is a Bill guy. Did I nail that, you think?
I don't know. I don't know if they will necessarily do that because I don't think that they're – everybody's a Bill guy there. I mean, honest to God, everybody's a Bill guy. Is Matt Groh malleable enough to embrace the new grading scheme and scale that the Patriots are implementing, for instance? If so, then I could see them keeping him around. But he certainly as we can all see, was passed over in terms of given the latitude to make the decisions. Where does he go? Does he want to stay? And if he does want to stay, are the Patriots better off without him? I think those are decisions that need to be made. I don't blame you for putting your money on that marker because certainly he hasn't had a great track record, I think, draft-wise, nor as a team, nor in free agency with Matt Groh, not Elliott Wolf, seeming to be Bill's first lieutenant. But I don't know if that's disqualifying for him going forward.
Interesting. Tom Kern, great stuff,
good
Tommy.
Stuff today,
we'll talk
Tom.
To you soon, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.